Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so stay a minimum of 6 feet away from others and stay home if you can. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, May 29th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. We said he might do it, and he has. President Trump signed an executive order on Thursday seeking to limit the broad legal protection that federal law currently provides to social media and other online platforms. The action comes amid a heated battle between the president and Twitter after the company tagged two Trump tweets linking mail-in voting to voter fraud. Our reporter Deepa Seetharaman will join us to explain what's going on and how it fits into a larger battle over free speech online. That's coming up after these headlines. To keep up with rising demand for deliveries during the pandemic, many online retailers brought on additional workers in March and April. Amazon alone hired 175,000 temporary workers. Now the e-commerce giant says it's giving 125,000 people the option to stay on for the long term. It's a signal the company expects recent growth in online orders to continue. And last year, for the first time since 1885, the U.S. consumed more renewable energy than coal. That's according to the Energy Information Administration. The milestone reflects a steep drop in demand for coal, as well as steady growth in wind and solar power. And the shift towards renewable energy technologies is likely to continue as more utilities commit to ambitious goals to address climate change. After the break, more on President Trump's, quote, big action against social media companies yesterday. That's next.
Robotics, artificial intelligence, augmented reality. The future is here. Listen to Tomorrow, Today, with The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything, the podcast that takes you to the front lines of science and tech and shows you what's coming next. Look ahead. What do you hear? The Future of Everything, from The Wall Street Journal. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier this week, Twitter labeled two of President Trump's tweets about mail-in voter fraud. The label said, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots," and linked to a fact-checking page that said his claims were unsubstantiated. In response, President Trump said he'd take, quote, big action against social media companies. He accused Twitter and others of curbing free speech and silencing conservative viewpoints. That big action Trump promised turned out to be an executive order, and he signed it on Thursday. Our reporter Deepa Seetharaman joins us now to talk more about it. Deepa, thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with this executive order. What does it say exactly?
Well, at a high level, it is trying to limit the legal protection that social media companies and online platforms in general enjoy under current federal law. So right now, companies like Twitter and Facebook are not necessarily, they're not liable for the things that users post on their site. And Trump is trying to roll that protection back.
This is actually part of a much bigger conflict that's been going on for a while between conservatives, especially, and social media companies. What allegations have conservatives been leveling at these companies?
It's been a few years now of criticism from the conservative community and conservative thinkers and politicians. Their belief is that, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Google, all these companies are based in Silicon Valley. They're filled with liberals and people who hate conservatives, and they feel as if the companies have a baked-in antipathy for the conservative viewpoint. And so there's been a lot of discussion about this for a long time. I mean, we saw this back in May 2016 when Facebook got in hot water for trending topics. I don't know if you remember that, but trending topics was a scandal where it was alleged that Facebook moderators were suppressing conservative news inside a feature called trending topics. And that sparked a new wave of debate about this and a belief that, you know, these tech companies are too liberal to respect conservative viewpoints. So since then, the tech companies have really gone above and beyond to try to correct that impression and give the impression that they are fair, you know, across the board. And, you know, some critics would say that they've been overly deferential to the right. But, you know, in cases like this, it hasn't actually helped quell the conversation and the accusations. I mean, it's still a really testy subject for conservatives.
We've also seen a lot of differences between social media companies and the way they've been reacting to this issue. Can you talk a little bit about the differences between Facebook and Twitter and other platforms in how they've tried to deal with this issue?
I think, you know, every platform has its own rules around misinformation. Almost all the companies are loath to take stuff down. You know, I think they view it as a slippery slope that once they start censoring their users, there's a couple different things will happen. You know, people will stop using the site and then they'll be in trouble for things they don't take down. And so they often sort of defend that decision by saying, you know, we're about free speech. I mean, these companies also have community standards. They take things down all the time that are actually legal but violate their own community rules, and that's their right. They're private companies. And so, but when it comes to political speech, especially when it comes to misinformation too, the companies have been very reluctant to take anything down. So they've adopted sort of a middle stance where they send information to third-party fact checkers. And those parties are the ones that determine whether or not something is true or, you know, mostly true or mostly false. And then, you know, in some cases that post will get a little flag, like we saw with Trump's tweets this week. But, you know, the companies just, they really don't want to be in that position. You know, it's a really incredibly sticky spot. I mean, as this week perfectly illustrates, it's a sticky spot for these companies because, you know, they can't make a right decision. You know, they, every time, if they take something down, there'll be an entire class of people that criticizes them. If they add a fact-checking label, there'll be an entire class of people who fact-check them. If they do nothing, there is yet another group of people that will criticize them. And so the companies are trying to appeal to the broadest group of people. They want to be used very widely, and they want to be used widely, but it's just such a lot, you know, people with across all different types of political views and ethnicities and languages. I mean, these are really global companies. But, you know, when they make calls like this, it risks alienating a really large faction of their user base, and they're just very hesitant to do that.
It does seem like, though, that there has been a difference in approach between Facebook and Twitter specifically.
Yeah. I mean, in this case, what you have is Twitter deciding to apply this label. It's a pretty minor label. It doesn't say, you know, wrong. It doesn't, there aren't like neon flashing lights around his tweet. It's a pretty subtle little flag underneath his tweet that says, get more information about this topic. And so Twitter took that step, and that was a pretty important step. These companies have been very reluctant to fact check political leaders in particular, because that's such a thorny area to go. Facebook made a completely different decision, which was to determine that this didn't violate their policies. So Facebook has a lot of different rules around this, and some of them are pretty confusing, but they don't fact check politicians, except in cases where those politicians issue some type of voter misinformation or misinformation about the census. In this case, you know, outside academics look at what the president posted and say, hey, you know, he's spreading misinformation about the way voting works. That has to violate the Facebook rules. But Facebook disagrees. They say what he said complies with our rules. And so it's an interesting distinction that's emerging between these two companies. And it'll be interesting to see which one of these perspectives, you know, how this progresses and which one of these companies, if they either one yields or if they stay the course.
Let's talk about how the tech companies might be impacted by this executive order. From a business perspective, we saw stock prices fall on Wednesday night when Trump first said that he'd be signing this order. But more broadly, how could it change the way that they run their platforms? How could it impact them?
Well, a lot of the legal experts that we talk to say that the order is likely to be challenged in court on the grounds that it oversteps the government's authority and ability to restrict the platforms. You know, that there's federal law has determined that these companies are are allowed these protections. And so there's just on a practical level, nobody I spoke to expected this to become sort of law. But there's the optics perspective, right? There's the theater of this, which is Facebook and Twitter desperately don't want to be in a situation where they are the target of the White House, where they're being accused of being unfair to his party. And, you know, you got to remember that, you know, the White House and these politicians that are in power, they have the power to regulate Facebook. They have the power to regulate Twitter. And, you know, so even if this executive order doesn't go through, you got to imagine that within these companies, they are taking this very seriously because there could be downstream effects and it could make life tough for these companies over the course of the next year.
Our reporter, Deepa Seetharaman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, before we go, we have a correction to make. The original version of yesterday's podcast incorrectly said Facebook executives had evidence that their platform contributed to societal division, but chose to do nothing. Facebook executives scaled back attempts inside the company to fix the problem. We just wanted to fix that. Tech News Briefing is produced by Amanda Llewellyn. I'm your host, Kateri Yoakum. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.